we're going to go on a date before I see your titties. And like, they're making it kind of clear that it's going to be more than just titty seeing. Okay. Like maybe we'll go further.
We might start with titty seeing.
Well, there's titty seeing happening, but that doesn't mean that's where it's ending.
We're going to start with titty seeing and then we're going to titty see how it goes after that.
Hello.
Hey, whoa. Happy New Year. It's February.
Welcome to February and welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
It is so good to see you. And by see you, I mean know that you're listening to our podcast.
Know that we're lurking among you.
Know that somewhere out there you're listening. Last time I was aware that was Sarah. And last time I checked, she still liked books.
And that's hope. And thankfully, she still likes talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. But Hope, you're becoming a bookish girl.
I am. So much has changed since the last time we were here, including that I am in a book club for my work and I have a library card.
That's so exciting.
I know.
And for those who don't know, maybe you're new with us, but every once in a while, Hope and I roll reverse. Our therapist said it's good for us.
Yes.
And she reads the books and then I do the research. And I'm so excited for whatever you're going to come up with this year, because last year you really like knocked it out of the park. We had Don Juan Velociraptor.
Yes,
we had Monster Pucker. So God only knows what this year will bring, but, did you have a good hiatus?
I did. I had a great hiatus. I traveled. I went to Arizona. It was nice. It was not as warm as you would hope, but it was warmer than it is here. A million things have happened since the last time we recorded.
Yes.
was off work for a while because of it being the holidays. And back to work. We're in full swing, baking stuff. And yeah, I don't know. Just doing my best every day is pretty much what I've been doing every day since the new year started.
Yeah. And I think most Americans at least can say the same. Yeah, I think like we just had a lot of nice downtime.
Yes.
And for me, it was like, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I kind of go, and then when I finally get a break, it's like my body crashes and it's like, here, get sick with 3 colds in a month and your back's going to get thrown out and you're going to have to go to the urgent care for this thing. And so it was like, even though I relaxed, I still was like not feeling good.
Right. It was just like taking care of ourselves in the ways we weren't before.
That's so crazy. And then like, I know you're 30, over 30, but like I'm approaching 30 rapidly and I'm like I just this is my body can't move how it once did.
My neck, my back.
Exactly. And my crack. But anyway, we have a very chill entry episode. Things have been really wild lately. And so I came up with an option that I felt like looked in the face of some of the issues in a very relaxed way. But before we do, I want to tell you a little book talk drama. Can I do so?
Yes, I'll allow it.
Actually, let's not pretend here, okay? We're recording this for a second time because
we've been lying to you.
We didn't get that far the first time. I got halfway through telling this story to you before your computer crashed.
That's
which
true.
Is why this episode is coming out a day later than what we were hoping. But I just think it's funny because I'm going to act like you don't know the first part of this story, but you do.
Tell me again.
Well, for a little refresher in case you forgot. So we talked early on in our podcast career about boys on Book Talk, specifically heterosexual, traditionally attractive men on Book Talk, and how this space is traditionally for diverse communities, women, and not saying men don't read books, but like the specific Book Talk community has just been burned in the past of these traditionally attractive heterosexual men who come in and want to make a profit or make views off of, you know, the smutty side of Book Talk. Mm-hmm. So something that often happens on BookTok is that people will see a creator that is not in the BookTok space and be like, oh, that's who I would fan cast for this book. Like, that's my Azriel, that's my Zayden, that's my whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're maybe they're filming a thirst trap or whatever it is. So that has happened with this one particular creator. And I don't want to really give him any light of day. And so, like, I don't even know if I should say his name, but he in the past has been like, if you go to his comments, he kind of makes some thirsty traps, mm-hmm. which is like up to you how much people should then respond to that thirst trap. You know, it's like, sure. Okay, so if women are posting in your comments section, you know, like, OMG, so hot, yada, yada, you know, like, where's the line, right? Where it starts to get creepy versus like what you're putting out there is like to be sexy, right? And you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, I am hot, right? So people are posting in this guy's comment section, like fan casting him for books and being like, oh my gosh, thirsty, blah, 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 blah. And he for a while was like, this is creepy, this is weird, and kind of shamed women for liking these types of books, shame the BookTok community, which I think is a weird line of like, what, you know, what type of creator are you? And you attracted a audience who does like your content, but not necessarily for the reason you wanted them to. So I don't really know what the answer to that is, but so he shamed this community and then turned around and this week posted that he is going to start a subscription service to listen to him read out loud a Penelope Douglas book. And if you don't know Penelope Douglas, she does a lot of taboo dark romances. And I think one of the weird things about this is that the subscription is for $70.
That's so much.
It's so much. And also, you don't have the rights to use that. That's somebody else's book. You can't profit off of somebody else's work. And so then he tried to like lessen the subscription amount to $20. And the author even had to post on her Instagram story like, hey, I did not authorize anybody to use my work like this. Please don't support this. Like, this is weird. Also, I said to you last time when I was trying to tell you this story, it's like, it feels like you're just trying to make rent. Like it feels like you were like, hey, this is a good payday. We should do this.
Who among us isn't? But you can't make rent off of somebody else's work quite like that.
Yes. And I just think it's kind of crazy to enter the space that you had shamed. And people remember, like, this wasn't too long ago that he was like, hey, you guys are weirdos, get out of here. Like, so it's just like funny to me because I'm like, also, who's paying for this? We have amazing audio narrators who can definitely say, like, they sound so hot narrating these books. And, like, go listen to them and pay for their work because that's exactly what they're there for. This is not to say I don't love when I come across, like, a TikTok live and it's, like, an old man reading Harry Potter to us. Or, like, there's an account where a guy literally just reads, like, children's books on his TikTok live. And I'm like, that's so sweet. But you can't make money off of somebody else's property. So that's kind of like the big thing right now is like people being like, what is happening? This is happening again. Why are we allowing this to happen again? Yeah, that's how I feel.
That reminded me that I don't have access to TikTok and maybe we'll never again, which is something that happened over our break.
Yes. I thankfully kept it, but that was kind of wild for a hot second there.
Look, and we know I'm not anymore the social media girly, so
no, that's fine.
It's fine for me.
That's okay. That's okay. We just send each other memes that are like, this is us in a different universe, and it's like two frogs sitting at a pond drinking coffee or something.
That's actually us in this universe.
That is us in this universe, too. They just won't let us. Corporate America won't let me be that girl.
They don't want us to be frogs drinking coffee.
They won't let me be the base of who I am in my heart with you. So
let me be a gremlin.
This is also your reminder to go follow us on social media because to return with a bang, and unfortunately not the bang we want, we will be having a giveaway with our bestie Hannah Banana Fabrics, Woo-hoo! Which she was so great, and I just love her stuff. This is not sponsored, but like we love her. This is friendship. This is a parasocial friendship. I love her book sleeves, her Kindle sleeves. I have numerous of them. I've gifted them. So she was kind enough to say, hey, if you want a couple of sleeves to go with the books that you're giving away, we will do it. So go to our social media at Say Smut Podcast to enter the giveaway. And go follow Hannah Banana Fabrics. She will be a part of the giveaway. So you have to follow us both. And then comment some friends and be like, hey, you guys should enter too. Or like, hey, check out this podcast. Hey, check out Hannah Banana Fabrics. She just has like some of the cutest little fabrics and that go. I want one for like every season, you know?
Sure. Yes.
I have one that's like a little witchy looking. I don't have a wintry one. That's kind of what I'm missing right now because I have a lot of spring, summer, fall ones. So maybe I need to go shopping. But check us out on social media. Do we have any other announcements before we dive into our book?
I mean, no other than, hey, we love you so much, and we're so glad that you're here, and we always want you to be here. That's pretty much the only other thing I had to announce.
Yes.
That's
yes.
It.
And while it's important to stay vigilant and aware, it's okay to unplug for a second and mm-hmm. listen to a little smutty podcast.
Yes. And some weird research while you're at it. You can listen to both to feel better.
And here's what I want to say, too. I absolutely love when we get comments on social or on our YouTube channel or in our email of people we don't know listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes it's like, are we yelling into the abyss?
which we would probably do anyway. And obviously we love everyone we know directly who listens to this podcast. But if we don't even know you, hey, thanks so much.
Yes.
That's crazy.
There was somebody who commented right after the new year on one of our YouTube posts and was like, so nice. And I sent it to Hope. I saw it at like 11 o'clock at night and I was like ugly crying at a friend's house. And I was like, this is just so sweet. So I don't know what we do. But with that said, we want to be a comfortable space for everyone. We want to feel like everybody's represented in the things that we talk about. And the world, like I said, is a little crazy right now. And so what better way than to look down the barrel of that than doing a smutty little diverse queer story today?
Woohoo! Those are my favorite kinds.
Yes. I want to talk about this book because it has so few reviews and it kind of I don't really know how I came across this author on social media, but I got a little snippet of this book from her like suggested page. Okay.
Awesome.
So this is Re-Stack. So RE:Stacks by Chloe Slate. And I'm not really sure if like the re is supposed to be like a thing for like emails. That doesn't really
like regarding.
Yeah. Regarding the stacks. I don't know. But that's how the title is on like, you know, the Kindles, sure. The Amazons.
You had put it in our document on accident. So
no, that's how it's listed. So if you're looking it up, that's what you have to look up for it. Content warnings. We've got sexual content, mention of self bondage in a positive way, past car accident, incident. And then the book talks about possibly a homophobic household, but I will not be discussing that. This is like a 38-page book. And like I said, if you look, it's very niche. Like this is such a deep cut on Storygraph. It has 5 reviews and on Goodreads, it has 47 reviews. So very minimal. But of those reviews, Storygraph, it has a 4.3 and Goodreads, it has a 4.15. So
look, not a lot of people know, but the people who know,
they love. So let's talk a little bit about Chloe Slate, who is our author. This is from her Goodreads. Chloe Slate is an author of steamy sapphic romance stories and novels. She is deeply committed to writing stories that are fun, edgy, over the top, and inclusive of people of the LGBTQ spectrum in all forms. A former music journalist and academic, Chloe lives in Indianapolis with her wife. So Do you have any questions before we dive in?
No, I'm so excited.
I'm also excited. Again, this is not like one of our like monster ones or anything like that. It's just, it's really feel good in a lot of ways. And it had me smiling when I was reading it.
Love it.
The book starts with an author's note. And I think this is important. I'm not going to read the whole author's note to you because it's kind of long. But essentially what Chloe gets at is that there is going to be a character who is in a wheelchair. And she wanted to be inclusive of the experience of people who are in wheelchairs in a sexual experience. But she does not want to speak as though, even though she's done her research, she does not want to speak as if it's the perfect representation.
Sure.
So she even put her email in this author's note of like, if you have any problems with this, tell me and I will fix it. That's and amazing, I thought Chloe. That was really, really cool to be like, hey, look, a lot of people in wheelchairs, they're having sex. Okay.
And they should be.
As they should be.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just like, this is such a cute, fun, beautiful story, I think. And so I think she did a really good job of introing like, hey, I'm not the perfect person to represent this, but I wanted to feature it because we be getting horny. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to set the scene for you that might be familiar. Okay.
I'm ready.
It is 2012. Where are you? In the winter of 2012.
I am in college. Oh, in the winter of 2012, I think I'm at the University of Northern Iowa.
Yes. And
I don't think I'm at Iowa yet.
Okay. So we are in a college library during winter break. So there's like no one around. Mm-hmm. And our main character, Emma, and her girlfriend, Monica, are perusing the stacks. Okay.
Yes.
And as you may have guessed, and Monica is in a wheelchair as mentioned, and Emma is pushing the wheelchair, but not in like a weird, like I'm doing this for you. It's more of like a, you are my princess and you don't have to lift a finger. Like,
right.
I want to make it clear that she's pushing the wheelchair at Monica's allowance.
Yeah. Okay? Not like that. Not like Miss Coddle and Wicked.
Yes, precisely. So Monica wants to be a fantasy writer and is doing a little research, and they're like in the medieval section of the library. Like no one's been in these stacks for God only knows how long.
The dusty stacks.
And they make sure to mention that this is a climate controlled based library. So she was like, makes a joke about how there's like cobwebs and dust. And she's like, no, there's not because it's climate controlled. And then I was like, okay, I've always been interested in this. Now this research topic that I gave you is purely selfish because I have always been curious about the element of being climate controlled in a library, especially like historic libraries. This has nothing to do with the plot. I want to make this abundantly clear.
Good.
I was just curious. What the fuck are we doing with climate controlled libraries?
Absolutely. Welcome to Burr. It's cold in here. We must be preventing mold and stuff from developing in the library atmosphere.
Oh, wow. That's a long title. But I do like that you brought it even like 10 years prior to the 2012 date that we're at.
I mean,
with the reference to what
it's an irreverent cheerleader cheer. I don't think we have to put a time and year on it.
But no, you know what movie I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
You know, the movie that we both know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cheerleader one.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Anyway.
Bring
yes.
It on.
Kirsten Dunst. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. You of go course. Ahead and tell us about your research. I'll shut
anyway,
up.
Anyway. That was so worth it. Thank you so much to the Smithsonian Institute, the Northeast Document Conservation Center, and the University of Chicago Library. Have you ever been in a library and thought, damn, it's cold in here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's because it is. But there's a reason. Libraries aren't doing it out of spite. It's not because they hate you.
They're doing it out of spite.
So I did a little digging. And paper? It can become pretty delicate over time. And what do books have? So much paper. And what has a lot of books? That's right. Libraries.
Sarah's office. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That sure. too. So my research comes from all three of those places kind of mixed about. But according to the Northeast Document Conservation Center, library and archival materials are hygroscopic, which means that they just love to absorb and release moisture.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So temperature and humidity changes can cause, like, books in particular, things that are, I mean, like, this happens to a lot of different collections. The sources I went through were talking about not just books and stuff, but, like, if you have archives of pictures or, you know, artwork, they're all susceptible to different kinds of stuff over time. And it's important to accommodate for that. So things that are paper-based will absorb and release a lot of moisture. So temperature and humidity changes over time can cause books to expand and contract as paper is absorbing and releasing moisture. And over time, that can cause damage to the paper and the ink. It can warp the covers of a book. It can do all kinds of bad stuff. Additionally, heat can increase chemical reactions that will break down paper and other media. So, like, if there's a lot of humidity, it can encourage mold growth and pest activity in paper. And if there's low relative humidity over, like, too much time, then it can dry out and the paper will become brittle. And, like, paper and leather and photographs are all susceptible to effects of light as well. So wrong kinds of light or too much light can cause colors to fade or, like,
yes,
chemical deterioration over time. So with all of that in mind, the temperature and humidity of especially a library, but really any place that collects stuff, as well as the light that all that stuff is being exposed to, is really important to maintain over a long period of time to keep your books and stuff from not falling apart.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting you say that. Anybody who's watched a video of one of our podcast sees that in the background I have, like, windows, but I have books below the windows and stuff.
So many.
And they always say, like, I'm always checking my books that are around the windows because I have a very old house and there's moisture that comes from those windows. And so like the books can get moldy, and it could be a brand new book and you put it on the window for a couple months and it gets moldy, you know? So and then, like, I have discoloration of, like, my pages too. So it's just something you really can't avoid.
Yeah. So I'll just round it out for you. There's, like, a range temperature and humidity you should be keeping your stuff at. I've seen across my sources anyway that the range is, like, as low as 35 degrees to 65 degrees Fahrenheit. No more than 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Like, the base recommendation I saw was, like, 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and then the relative humidity should be about 50%. But
interesting,
it's a range. So I've seen some ranges be like 35 degrees Fahrenheit to 65 degrees Fahrenheit with humidity between 30% and 50%. Somewhere within there is good to kind of maintain, but it you know, depends on what the room you're putting all these books in is like. And, you know, if it's old like yours, or, like, if it's in a basement like mine and it gets super damp down there, probably shouldn't keep your books down there. That's what I learned.
That's interesting. And I think that, like, obviously you want to keep things, if the moisture is a problem, you'll want to keep things dry, which I think of, like, libraries always being kind of dry too.
But you don't want it to be too dry because it will suck moisture out of paper materials and cause them to get really brittle over time.
I mean, yeah, we can't win.
Life's a balance.
Life is balance. Well, thank you so much for your research. That was very selfish of me. But it does make sense that they're keeping, like, it kind of reminds me how restaurants will keep things cold because you're more inclined to eat when you're cold than when you're hot.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, when I worked at restaurants growing up, and that makes me sound like I did child labor. I did not. I just had normal child labor at 15 years old.
At the age of two, Sarah yearned for the restaurants.
I was whipping around those beers. I was, they always kept it cold, and everybody always complained about it being a little chilly in the restaurant. But that's because if you're too hot, you're not going to want to eat. Like, no one wants to eat when they're hot. And also, you also have a million things. Like, if you have a kitchen, obviously you have all the heat going. So you're trying to keep it cool. But thank you so much for that research.
You're welcome.
So now you realize it's a little chilly, you know, maybe, probably.
Yes, probably.
Especially if it's in the winter, you know. Yeah,
at least usually between the ranges of 65 and upwards of 70, but depending as cold as. I don't think most places are keeping things 35 degrees. There's cold storage. Like, some collections are kept in more specific
yes
temperatures over time.
Yeah, I remember it's
been brought out, but yes.
It's
it's cold in here, probably.
We did a tour. I went to Iowa State University, and we did a tour of like our special sections of the library where they keep like the really historical shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a bunch of temperature, like suction cup doors of like, yeah, you know, keeping things real tight. Which is how you could describe our main character is very
keeping
tight.
Keeping it tight.
Like I said, they're like in this library perusing, and Emma throws out there how empty the library is. Like, I mean, they could have sex on the table over there and no one would bother them.
Uh-huh.
And I should note,
for example.
Now, yeah. Yeah. So I should note now that Emma is, quote, autistic, whose hyperfixation seems to be sex. And that is her direct description of herself. And she jokes that she's like, I could have been one of those people who memorized film history or done like quadratic functions at a glance. But instead, I memorized the Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra?
I think it's Kama Sutra. She like memorized all the different Kama Sutra through self-bondage that she like trained herself in. Like,
incredible.
Yes. Which like, do we all not have a hyperfixation with sex? I mean, like we all go through a period of probably horniness in our youth. But the two of them have been dating for a few months. Okay. And they make out all the time. They love a little fondle too, but over the clothes. But as soon as, you know, Emma starts reaching under the clothes, Monica's like, she kind of like rescinds back into herself and is like, you know, maybe let's not go there. And like, obviously Emma's like, of course, you know, I don't want to make my girlfriend uncomfortable. But like, you know, when Emma's throwing out things like, hey, let's have sex on the table over there, Monica's typically like, oh, Emma, you know, like kind of like admonishes her a little bit, you know, like, oh, stop. And then she gets kind of like quiet and like, but when they cuddle and stuff, like when they're not doing sexual stuff, but when they're cuddling and just having conversation, Monica expresses like, yeah, I do want to have sex and I do get horny, but like, I just feel like I can't take that step for some reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's better time to broach the subject than in the middle of an empty library?
Yeah.
So of course, Monica is now making it kind of clear that she's uncomfortable showing her body. And Emma quickly is like, I love your body. There's literally nothing wrong with it in my eyes. And in a joke, Monica mentions how perfect Emma's boobs are probably because she has not seen Emma's boobs. And Emma's like, do you want to see them? And Monica's like, fuck it. Yeah, I do want to see them.
Yeah. And
this is a direct quote. The first time seeing your girlfriend's tits in a library surrounded by medieval literature, is this almost too good to be true? Or this is almost too good of a moment, isn't it?
And like, it's cold. Wow.
Yeah. No, she's probably nipping so hard.
Probably could cut glass. Got to be careful.
Yes. So Emma flashes her, and Monica's like, "Yeah, that's the stuff." You know, she's like,
"That's the business."
I saw my girlfriend's boobs, and then Emma's like, "Okay, now your turn." And Monica's looking around, and she's like, "Why don't I give you an IOU back at the dorm?" Okay.
Sure.
And she's like, oh, okay, you know what? That's totally fair. But Emma isn't just going to like take her to bed. And she's like, I'm going to wine and dine you first. You know what? Like, I don't want to make you feel like some cheap girl. Like, we're going to go on a date before I see your titties. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like, they're making it kind of clear that it's going to be more than just titty seeing. Okay. Like, maybe we'll go further.
We might start with titty seeing.
Well, there's titty seeing happening, but that doesn't mean that's where it's ending.
We're going to start with titty seeing, and then we're going to titty see how it goes after that.
Okay, you are a college. I don't know what year they are, I guess. Maybe sophomore, maybe freshman. But they're pretty low. Like, you know, like not, they're not seniors. So what better place to go in a romantic setting than the dining hall? And during this conversation at the dining hall, it actually gets really emotional because Monica tells Emma the story of how she came to be in a wheelchair because they've never had this conversation before.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, they're a new couple.
Yeah, well, and they've been dating a couple months, but Monica's like, you never asked. Everybody always asks. And Emma's like, because it doesn't change how I see you and how valuable I think you are. Like, I don't need to know unless you want to tell me. And Monica shares the story of how, you know, she was in a car with a friend and things went sideways, you know, and it ended up with her in a wheelchair. And she's kind of getting emotional, and we have to remember that Emma is on the spectrum. And so seeing her girlfriend process kind of big emotions mm-hmm. is something she's not historically great at. And so she's trying very hard in this conversation too, to be open to what and listening to what Monica needs, which is hard for her too.
Yes.
And I thought that was really beautiful. Like, I was like,
that is really beautiful.
Because she's still on the spectrum. Like, we have to recognize that we can't just say that she is autistic or has autism. We have to make sure that she has the character growth of what that means, right? Mm-hmm. So Monica was told that she was going to walk in a few years, but she never did. And so now her peers are like partying and learning about life, and she kind of feels like she's stuck.
Sure.
So this sexual step for her feels really big in a lot of other kind of metaphorical ways.
Sure.
Okay. So they decide, she's like, you know what? I'm going to take you to a theater. We're not going to go to like the student union free movies. No, we're going to go to a real theater and we're going to get dressed up and we're going to go for dinner and we're going to do the whole shebang. Okay. And so they go their separate ways, dress up at their own separate dorms. And then Emma comes over to Monica's dorm to come get her. And she just looks stunning. I mean, she's got like this cute skirt on. She's got a cute blouse on. Even Emma, who's more, it sounds like more tomboy-y. Mm-hmm. She is like got a cute blouse on, some tight jeans. It's a whole look. Okay.
They're dressing up.
And again, what would you be wearing then in 2012?
Skinny jeans.
Absolutely.
One of those like sort of meant for work blouses from Express.
Little peplum.
With my skinny jeans. Yeah. Oh, a peplum?
Me? A peplum yes. top? Yes.
Sign me up for both skinny jeans and a peplum.
Yes, I'm with you. That's exactly.
A flat.
Yes. Flat shoes, of course. So, but also how hot would it be if you and your girlfriend were in heels and you were like wheeling her wheelchair and like you're just strutting in these heels and she's got hot heels on and you guys are like just like a power couple. It's so hot. Okay. So she's like, wow, you look stunning. And she's like trying to keep it in her pants. And Emma's like, we should go. And then Monica's like, well, don't you remember? I owe you. And she's like, you owe me what? And she's like, you already forgot about my tips. She's
yeah.
Like, no.
I owe you was given.
Mm-hmm. And so she tosses that shirt up and shows them titties. Okay. And Emma is like, what if I touched one? Can I touch one?
Can, she I, was like, can I have one touch?
Can I just give one little touch? And she's like, of course. And so Emma fondling them. It's great. Okay. So now Monica is getting very excited and she's like, let's have sex right now.
Oh yeah. Let's
have sex right now. And Emma's like, but what about the movie theater? And Monica's like, do you really, really care if we miss that? And Emma
says, you hear
says,
what I just said.
Yeah. Emma says, quote, most of the time, changing plans suddenly will fuck me up the rest of the night. But I think there's room for exceptions.
That's fair.
Emma's like, oh, this is so tempting because it is my hyperfixation to have
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're stripping. They're helping each other strip.
Yeah,
and Monica's yeah, like, yeah. I want to go down on you. And Emma's like, whoa, okay. So that just jumped a few steps. Are you sure? Like, we can go slower. And Monica's, nope, I actually have been fantasizing how we're going to have sex. And I think if you sit on my desk and like spread your legs and I roll up to the desk, you'll ooh, be perfect height. Like,
amazing.
She has been thinking about this.
She planned ahead.
She really has. So I also should note, obviously, the amount of consent and checking in is wild. And yes, everybody is hyped for the moment.
Yeah, we are asking permission and getting yes, clear answers.
And so as she's going down on Emma, Emma kind of places her hand on the back of Monica's head.
Uh-huh.
And Monica immediately stops and kind of grabs her hand and is like, don't pull or direct me. You can keep your hand there. Just like, don't direct me because I know the angles that I can move my neck for it not to be painful. Mm-hmm. And immediately Emma's like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. That was not, I did not. And then Monica's like, no, of course you didn't know. I'm still having fun. You're still having fun. Let's keep going. Just now you know this boundary. And I'm like, oh my God.
Communication.
It's so hot. This whole thing is so hot.
That's very hot.
And so after Emma gets her first big O for the night, mm-hmm. okay, she assists Monica into bed. And it's kind of noted, she's like, you know, Monica and I have cuddled before and like I've helped her into bed before. But like uh-huh. now we are in a state of undress. It feels a lot more intimate in a different way.
Sure.
And I thought that was very, like, this whole thing, I was just like, I was like, this is very emotional smut. Like,
yeah, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to be considerate.
Yes. It's so beautiful to show this type of intimacy in a 38-page smut book. Okay. So anyway, they get in bed. She strips her down the rest of the way. And then she, shocked to Emma, Monica's not wearing panties. And Monica's like, well, I kind of knew what we were getting down to tonight, so there was no point.
Monica said, surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah, and this is where the communication takes another kind of emotional turn for me. For me as the reader, I should say. Yes, not me as, like, I have none of these experiences. But Emma offers to go down on Monica. And Monica's like, well, I have some feeling down there, but not a lot.
Sure.
And Emma's like, I am so down to clown. I am happy to take the next 24 to 48 hours, like, rocking your world and whatever. Like, she's like, challenge accepted, right? Uh-huh. Like, she's like, I will, you know, and I think every woman especially, I talk about this a lot with friends, that women, we don't want to feel like a burden during sex mm-hmm. to some degree, where we, like, because orgasms take so long to get right. to.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine the adding the element of having a different feeling level below your waist sure. and being like, so that's what Monica's kind of getting at, right? It's like, I don't want you to feel like you have to keep working if I know I'm not going to get off in that way. Or like, you think I'm going to have a different reaction, but I don't have feeling on the surface of my body like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so she just is like, you know, I also don't really get wet down there. And I can't really just, she's like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to get off from oral sex. She describes it as it's not numb. It's just dulled. Mm-hmm. So Emma's like, I'm happy to do whatever. And then Monica kind of gets a little nervous and is like, you know, I just don't want you to feel obligated. And Emma reminds her, quote, getting off isn't the entire goal, you know? Sometimes getting there can be just as fun. Mm-hmm. That is the motto, okay? Mm-hmm.
That is the motto.
Through and through. So Monica kind of is like, you know what? I would like to see you do it. Even if I can't feel it all, mm-hmm. I want to have the visual experience of seeing my girlfriend go down on me. And surprise to no one, it's hot as fuck for her, okay?
Yeah.
But even Emma notes that the experience is different because when she's gone down on women before, right? Like, you know, they are a little squirmy and like kind of you can sure. move their legs around and, mm-hmm. and like, that's just not what's happening with Monica. And she's like, it's a different experience, but it's not bad. Like, this is not a bad, she emphasizes it's just a different experience. And it yeah. makes me in tune with her in a different way.
Yeah. It's the process of connecting physically is the point.
Yes. And so while it's very visually appealing to Monica, she's like, I'm definitely not going to get off this way. Mm-hmm. And Emma then decides to try fingering her. And again, the visual is very hot.
Great.
But she's like, I'm not getting much feeling out of it. And then Emma is like, great. I will just keep going at it in whatever way we want to. Like, mm-hmm. she is being emphasizing the point of, let's just keep going. We don't have to like stop. You don't have to feel like mm-hmm. this is over or done with.
You don't have to be achieving orgasm. If it's enjoyable, that's what we're doing.
Yes. And so Monica does masturbate. We should make that abundantly clear. And so she's like, you know what? There is a vibrator in my dresser if you would like to get it. And she shows Emma how she uses the vibrator because, again, it's more that she is sensitive on the inside than on the outside. And also, Monica, it has very sensitive nipples. So a little nipple play and a vibrator does the trick. Okay. Right. And so that's what they do, along with some of Emma's like egging on with some dirty talk to stimulate the mind a little bit. And in fact, she gets back-to-back orgasms. Monica does. Not one orgasm, not two orgasms, not three orgasms, four orgasms.
Wow.
Back-to-back-to-back. And she's like, I've never experienced something. It's so good. And so they end up cuddling and agreeing to watch a movie. And that's the end of our book.
That's so beautiful.
It's just like this really pleasant like little ending. And but I do have one major complaint, which is that they didn't have sex in the stacks. Okay.
Well, this is just regarding stacks. So the scene was set in the stacks and it carried us on to a night of pleasure and joy.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't like, I wish there would have been like an email that I would have understood regarding like, okay, so Chloe Slate, you can email us and tell us if we're on misunderstanding the whole re thing. Cause then I'm like, okay, is this like in reference to like, is it one in a series? You know, like is RE an acronym for something? But I'm reading it as like regarding, like you said.
Right. That's kind of how I was interpreting it.
So
I don't know. I'm not so concerned about it because I had such a good time.
It was just like to me, the read was, first of all, it was hot and it was very sexy. And like the dirty talk was great. But I just was like, yeah, this is like low stakes, but very emotional and very emotionally intimate.
I feel like not that there haven't been beautiful scenes in other books, but I feel like this is one of the first times that I've come away after hearing about a book and be like, that's so beautiful.
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we've talked about one of the things I know you love the most is the element of consent and like kind of the realisticness of these.
Yes.
Which by the way, we all love consent.
Just relatability like is sexy.
Yes. But like the element, and I know we did the love hypothesis, and I will go down in history as that is one of the most relatable sex scenes I read early on in my smut career.
Yeah.
Because like they stop and start laughing a lot. Like, and then like he's distracted by her boobs halfway through a conversation. Like it's just real. Like you're like, because that's exactly how sex goes. It's like, it's not flawless start to finish every single time. And I thought this whole little self-discovery story of like her, she knows what she wants and she has desire. It wasn't like she was ignorant either. And she led the moment.
It's just kind of, I just keep saying beautiful, but it's just like beautiful and cool to have it be like about navigating and discovering with each other. Like that really being the focus of working together, of teamwork in sex.
As it should be.
That's, and like sexual teamwork.
And we have Emma, who's happy to give like as much affirmations as she needs. And like you have a girl who's like hyperfixation in sex. Like she's like, I am happy to do this for hours and hours, whatever you need. So anyway, from a diversity standpoint, obviously we can discuss like the surface level diversity, which is, I don't want to say surface level, but the obvious stuff that is, you know, the disability rep and the autism rep, the queer storyline. But I just think there's so much more to this story in 36, 38 pages, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Plot. I guess the plot is that you have a girl who is trying to explore this with her girlfriend for the first time.
Yes.
So, you know what? I'll give the plot a five.
The plot is intimate look. I don't mean intimate like sexy. I mean intimate like close up. But it is obviously inherently sexy. It's an intimate look at two women's relationship and really, I don't know, like discovering each other for the first time.
Yes. So I'm going to give it a five. What are you giving it?
Yeah, I think it was beautiful. I'll give it a five. It's going to be weird. I feel like as I take big steps back when we go through stories more and more frequently, my my breach for what constitutes 5 stars for things is gonna, like, I like everything so much and yes. I can find the reason. So yeah, but 5. That's great.
And I'm giving the smut a 5. I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
It was still very hot. What are you giving it?
Yeah, I would give the smut a 5.
Okay. And then the cover is there for you. I'm going to be honest, Chloe. I get that you're probably an indie author who, I just hate this cover. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Do you just not enjoy the style?
Yes. I think the style really has me thrown off.
I don't mind it. So okay. Let me explain it to you. So up at the top, regarding stacks.
Yes.
Stacks and Erotes Circle Short.
Yes, I think Erotes is like it's part of the series, like it's something in the series.
I dig it. Kind of a, at least on my computer screen, maroony, dark, just a solid color background.
Mm-hmm.
We have the aforementioned stacks. So there's lots of, yes. There's lots of like shelves of books. And then over the shelves of books is sort of, I was going to say anime style.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm looking at it, the anime style isn't throwing me off as much. I think like when I saw it on my Kindle, I was like, whoop.
But yeah, it is like sort of an a more anime style illustration of our two main characters, Emika and Emika. I've made Emika. Them a couple name. They're,
that is
they're
their couple Emika. Name.
Mama. Emika would be a better way to describe them.
Yeah, let's do Emika.
Emma and Monica. Emma is sitting in Monica's lap. Emma has like very cute short brown hair, kind of like a pixie cut, and like a light purple dress with pink hearts on it. And then Monica, you can see her in her chair, and she's got like a light purple t-shirt with like a fishnet sleeves. Very emo, very Hot Topic. There's not a lot of detail in either of their clothing, but they're like embracing each other. And Emma's sitting on Monica's lap and they're looking into each other's eyes.
Yes, it's very cute.
And there's books all around them.
Yes. I will give it a 2.5.
I will give it a 3.
Okay. And now you play the hold music while I do math because I wasn't doing it while we were talking.
Hope's custom hold music.
Okay. I have an 83%.
Nice.
Which is still, I would say, certified a fresh.
I mean, every book we cover is certified fresh in its own way. Everyone is fresh in its own way.
We've had some rough ones.
They're all fresh to me because I'm not reading them directly. I'm absorbing them.
That leaves you at an 86 and me at an 83. What is your say smut moment from the book?
My say smut moment I wrote in my notes is being so considerate. And then I wrote weeps. Because it wasn't weeping. Like a say smut like, whoa, that was crazy and sexual. So much as it was like, the smut is smutty, but like
it was smutty,
but it's like sexier for me by being so beautifully considerate and yes. emotional.
I would say my say smut moment though is that it wasn't in the stacks. I think I went fully into it thinking that they were gonna have sex in a library and I was so excited, and then when
that,
you find
that
out,
two students were gonna have sex publicly at the university library,
which again, my hopes and dreams were crushed, but they were made up for in the very intimate setting that we had. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's just like a beautiful short story. But it was also very spicy. I don't want to like take away the spice of it all.
There is a less emotionally intimate additional version of this book in which they're like, oh no, what's that? Locked in a library. We can't get out till morning. Dang it. And then it becomes like, crazy library sex. That could just be its yes. own series. Is yes. oops, we're locked in here overnight.
What if you had an ornery librarian who like wanted people to get together, like that she was like cheering for couples and they were in having some sort of relationship issue, whether they were together or not together yet. And then she just coincidentally locks them into libraries.
Or it's like that movie from the 90s, The Page Master, except adults, and instead of
yes
coming to life in the genres of like horror and fantasy, it's just all smut.
Yeah,
an illustration tidal wave sweeps over you and you become animated into the plots of all of the smut books, and it's just smut book.
I'm into it.
Look, someone write this down,
Chloe,
because what
Chloe.
I'm proposing is we completely cop the storyline of Page Master and we make it be an adult person or several people. I don't care who comes. We're studying on this is a whole book. Someone drop this yes. down. We're studying late in a library. We're in college or older. Maybe we're just yes. adults working at a library. We're a librarian and we fall asleep. I don't care how it starts, but it's super late and stormy and we can't get out of the library. And somehow, what magic, a typhoon of illustration, it comes around us and enfolds us. How's that? We're getting sucked into the plot of every single smutty romance book in the library. Whoa.
It's almost like
romp after romp after romp.
Hold on. It's almost okay. Did you ever do the Magic Treehouse books?
I don't know if I'm sure I had to read a couple in school. I remember them.
You know what they are.
Yes. I don't remember them in explicit detail.
But like they're like A to Z. They're yes. kids who get dropped yes. into situations. That's what I'm thinking.
But sexy
but
and for
sexy
adults.
Sexy and adults. Okay. All right, you guys. Hope's gonna write it. We'll
I'll never do this podcast again because this time next week I'll be a bajillionaire.
Yeah, she's gonna be a best-selling author.
Sarah's gonna find a new podcast host. Liz is just gonna join on and they're gonna cover exclusively my good book ideas.
That's so, you know what? Done. That's what we end on.
Who's bookish now? Who likes to read? You do my books.
This one's so far off the rails. Okay. Well, thank you for listening with us. You can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at Say Smut Podcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your recommendations. As we said, we love to hear from you guys. And you can email us via email, like I said. You can email us via email.
Yeah, you can.
At saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. Also, yep. Pop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing.
Yeah.
Again, we'd love a little enemies to lovers story if you're not quite sure. Uh-huh. So otherwise stay smutty and communicate.
And I don't think I can encourage you to flash anybody in a library. What you do is your prerogative, but just remember the library is for everybody.
It sure is. And then like you also have to think about what kind of library you're in, because obviously like a college library is different than a public library. And like, you know, there might be kids around. So we don't want you getting on any crazy lists or anything.
Between you and your partner, create sexy vibes in a library, then leave
yes.
on a date and forego all your plans for big sexy fun.
Big sexy fun.
And we'll see you next time.
Stay smutty. Bye.
Goodbye.